According to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. What I'd like to suggest for you is that every time you see the word Simon, you substitute St. Luke's or your own name and see how that changes the meaning of this gospel. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon, St. Luke's, answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they both began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that were taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
All right, you may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Some of you have name tags. Oh, did you put it away?
I took it off.
Oh, you took it off. Okay. So if I didn't know that you were Ben, I wouldn't know who you were, would I? No. Having a name tag helps, doesn't it? Did you know that Jesus knows every one of us, even if we don't have a name tag on? He knows everybody. Callan and Teresa, and Tessa and Liz. Ellie. You go by Ellie, don't you? No? Okay. And Elise. I can't see your name tag, but I know you're Elise. And I know he's Ben. Isn't that neat? And because of that, even though each one of you is unique, you know what unique means? It means that you're not the same as Callan. Nope. He's a different height, right? You have the same age, though, don't you? Oh, you're only four. Okay. Okay. Well, I bet you're going to be five pretty soon. Yeah?
Almost.
All right. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, Jesus knows all of that, and he loves you. Have you ever done anything you shouldn't have? Never? Okay, that's good. There are some who say, "Yeah, well, maybe I did," right? Okay, well, we all have done some things we shouldn't have done. But still, Jesus loves us. And in the scriptures, in one place, it says Jesus is like the rock of our faith. And some Colleen happened to make some rocks that are kind of unique. Did you see all? Can you see all these? See how different each one is?
It's a
Yeah, some of them are like bugs, and some of them are just pretty, pretty, aren't they? Come on up. Would you like to take one? Okay. You can find one that you like.
That one.
All right. Everybody got one? Fantastic. Thank you, Colleen. And let's say thank you, Jesus, because he loves us. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us the way we are. Even when we make mistakes and do the things we shouldn't, we know that you love us and forgive us and care for us, and that we are unique and that we are special to you. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat. It dawned on me as I was preparing, I have to have confession here. The sermon that I wrote this week is not the one that I'm preaching this morning. Because this morning, all at once, things fell into place, and I thought, oh, there's a different message here. But I realized, then the reason is, I realized that I've been in the ministry about half as long as this congregation has been in existence. I've been in the ministry almost 50 years. And you've been in the ministry for even longer. Well, some of you. And not everybody here is 100 years old, so we'll let you get by with that. But during that time, at least in my ministry, there have been those times of great joy, but there have also been those times of great sadness. And there have been those times of discouragement, just like this congregation experiences. Times when we thought, man, is it worth it? Shouldn't we just throw in the towel? I've thought about that several times in the ministry. And there are still some people who have that mindset that we'll just throw in the towel. But I want you to look at the gospel, the scriptures that we have today in a different way. In a way that makes some sense. I want you to realize that each of us, as individuals and us as a congregation, have those times when we think we are totally worthless and wasted. Think about one of the Great Lakes was so badly polluted that they said there was really no hope for it. And yet somebody heard a voice and said, we can do something about that. And within an amazingly short time, if you know that story, it returned to life because they stopped the pollution and they started a new way of dealing with this beautiful treasure. Well, I think each of us have that opportunity in our own lives to look at what we can do and not worry about what we cannot do. Isaiah is writing to a people who are at that stage where they are, well, Isaiah is, at least, is ready to throw up his hands and say, it's all over. Remember that Isaiah sees Babylon on the horizon, and he sees the sin of all the people of Israel, of Judah. And he says, what's the use? Why bother? They're so sinful, let's just let them go. But on the Sabbath, he turns in, goes into the temple, and he's meditating, and all at once, this incredible vision shows before him. Cherubim and seraphim, just such glory. And at one point, he says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. There's no hope. And yet look what happens in that lesson. You don't see God saying, well, I know that, but I like you anyway. But that's what comes out. Because God says to this man of unclean lips and these people of unclean lips, who will go for him? This is a message for every age, not just 600 BC. This is a message for you and me today also. God says to us, who will go for me? And we have to say, what's Isaiah say? Here I am. Send me. Now it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, the message is the same. And you'll notice when Paul writes that second lesson for us that goes to the Corinthian Christians, if you don't know it, Corinth at that time was, they might call it Sin City. Corinth was a mess. Well, we've been to that area, and it had every god of every nation you could imagine. It was a seaport. And all these different worshiping practices, all of these different sinful actions that they took part as part of their worship were just appalling. But Paul writes to these people who know all of that, and he says, I am like Isaiah. God called all of these wonderful people, and these people of the past, and these apostles, and then finally he called me. But I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even fit to be called an apostle. Do you ever feel like that? Huh? Like, why would God want me for anything? And yet, Paul says, the least of all the apostles, and yet he called me and gave me this challenge. And as a result, I've been working harder than anybody. And I'm willing to do that for the sake of the gospel. When Jesus is out on the lake of the Sea of Galilee, they call it Gennesaret. Gennesaret, by the way, is a Greek word for fiddle, because the lake looks like a fiddle, I guess. But it's one of those places that is absolutely beautiful. If you ever get a chance to go there, it's beautiful. And he's out there preaching and teaching, and Simon Peter has been out there all night long. How many of you fishermen have been fished all night long, or maybe all day long, and not caught a thing? No, okay, you don't have to confess. But there are some people who go out there all day long and fish and don't catch a thing that they can take home. Well, imagine, this is their occupation. This is what supports their life. They've been out there all night long fishing and haven't caught a thing. Jesus gets in Peter's boat and he says, let's go out a little ways. Well, he's willing to let him do that so he can preach. But when Jesus says, let's go out a little further and put down your nets, he says, oh, Lord, we just cleaned the nets. Why would we want to put our nets down? We've been at it all night long. We haven't caught a thing. It's a waste of time. But, Lord, if you say so, we'll do it. And look what happened. When we allow Jesus to get into our boat, when we allow Jesus to give us our directions, amazing things happen. The boats were filled to the brim. They had to fill two of them. And even those were beginning to sink. Amazing what can happen when we allow God to be part of what we do. And we can say as much as we want, oh, we are unclean, we really aren't skilled, we don't have any talent, it's a waste. But the question really is, have you heard God call your name? Or were those just ancient words? God is saying to you, even Ben and Callum and Ella and Elise, every one of you, Tessa, Miss Tessa, every one of you, God is saying to you, who's going to do the work of the church for me? We got one volunteer. Here I am. Send me. Fantastic. Probably a good illustration for us today would be to think about the butterfly. Do you know how it starts out? It starts out as an ugly worm. Just a squirmy little thing. But look what God can do to that squirmy little ugly worm, turning it into a beautiful butterfly. And when we get down because, well, we don't have, look at all those empty pews. And we can feel bad about that. But think about this. When we say, here I am, Lord, use me, God can fill them, even when we can't. God can turn an ugly bug into a beautiful butterfly. And that's what he wants for us. And that